Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Engaged Family Gaming Podcast. My name is Stephen Dutzman, and I am your host. This is the official destination where we delve into the finest video games and board games, perfect for you and your family. If you're a geeky parent, eager to share gaming moments with your kids, or just hunting for family-friendly game recommendations, you have come to the right place. I'd like to take a moment now to introduce the incredible team that helps make this show happen. First, we have John Tomlinson, the man behind the curtain.
Yellow, yellow.
And next, we have Jeff Walker hailing from the frozen north.
Hey, everyone.
And after that, we have Linda Roble, otherwise known as the Mistress of Magnificence, or Mom.
Hey, everyone.
And last but not least, my very best friend in the whole wide world, Amanda Farrow, our very own Princess of Power. Amanda, how are you?
It's finally podcast time, and my body is ready.
It is. It is absolutely podcast time. We should absolutely get It's Podcast Time stickers, because it's podcast day.
It's podcast day.
It's podcast day, and man, we have been looking forward to this since we shut down before the holidays. So, for those of you who are not super familiar, we take the last 2 weeks of the holidays off, and honestly, a scotch of the new year. We like to rest, recharge. I didn't do much resting, guys. You know what I did? I went on like a tear posting articles on the website. I went absolutely crazy. I wrote more articles for the EngageFamilyGaming.com mothership than I did in all of Q3, or Q4, rather. I went crazy, and I got a whole bunch more in the tank that are going to go up. Yeah, absolutely. So we got a whole bunch more in the tank. So this week's episode is going to be all about our most anticipated games, etc. of 2024. Our last episode was all about our games of the year. We talked about that. We shared our experiences. We shared our thoughts. Now we're going to kind of get hype for this next year. The reality is 2023 was a great year for both video games and for board games. Lots of good stuff. But 2024, now that we're looking at it, doesn't look like a slouch either. Lots of cool stuff happening, and we are going to talk about some of that stuff. Before we get into it, I do want to talk about some housekeeping. Amanda wrote a book. There's going to be a link to that book. That she wrote two books. You've written more than two at this point, I'm sure, right?
Nope, just the two.
Just the two. She wrote the two. Writing the third. And the link to that will be in the show notes. We have a magazine. That link will also be in the show notes. And you don't want to miss our D&D live play, which will be coming back on Monday. And we'll see what shenanigans these guys can get into on their way to the capital of Blackwater in the Coils of Destiny. So let's dive into today's episode. And we're going to start with my new favorite segment, which is it's good news. So the games industry is not a positive place at all times. Lots of bad stuff's happening. There's layoffs. There's bad games. There's good games that people don't like. There's all sorts of crazy stuff. What we decided is we're going to start every episode by unironically declaring our good news. What's cool that happened with us? What are we excited or happy about? Because I think that's important. It doesn't necessarily have to be game related, as we have proven that it is not always. So we're going to start with our good news. And we did that towards the end of last year. I liked it. And so we're going to keep doing it, whether these guys like it or not. And the fun fact, they do like it. So why don't we start with Linda, because she warned us on this one. So we want to let her go so she can recover. Linda, what is your good news?
Okay, so funny thing, I get game news. There's a new Monty Python game coming out from Runaway Parade. I was going to talk about that. And then I had a staff meeting today, back to my classroom, and I had a note left on my lesson plan book from a former student who is now a college student.
What?
And left me a note. So I had him way back in 2011-2012 school year, which feels like yesterday. And I'm a first grade teacher. So what paper does he find? He finds my first grade writing paper that's in the classroom, and he writes and draws little pictures to go with it, like little sketches, and basically just says, thank you for being my teacher. And, you know, if I read it, I'm going to totally cry. He told me he's a student at a local university and he's studying finance. It's like, and I remember this little 6-year-old, and yeah, he even drew like his little mascot.
That's adorable.
Like, it's so sweet. It's like, I could totally send him that. And he actually left me his email, and I'm totally going to reach out to him and, you know, just tell him how much it means to hear from a former student. And this actually, I didn't even finish the school year with him because that was the year I had my youngest. So I was out on maternity leave the last 2 months. So yeah, that I might've been completely crying in my classroom reading that. So that's my,
which is your equivalent of crying in the club.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, listen, we, that is absolutely good news. I am so, so excited to hear. And I mean, listen, it is no surprise to any of us that you have students that you have impacted enough that they want to come back and talk to you. So, I'm not shocked, but I am, I'm glad that you had that experience. And so absolutely celebrating that good news. Jeff, you're next. What's your good news this week?
So I was trying to think of which one I wanted to talk about this weekend. So I just want to say I got to experience something for the first time this weekend that I've never done before. I got to experience with my daughter because it was also her first time.
Yep.
We went to our first live NFL game. Since I could walk, I've been a diehard Minnesota Vikings fan.
Skol.
I live in Michigan. Skol Vikings. Fact, I have a jersey in our living room that I told my wife has to be hung up there, of the original Purple People Eaters from the 70s, has all their signatures on it.
Wow, that's kind of cool. All right,
it was originally my dad's and he gave it to me, but so I got to go see the Vikings lose to the Detroit Lions, but you know, and it was just such a cool experience just getting to go to something I've never been able to go to, and especially now that the Detroit Lions are doing really good, I won't be able to go to again for a few years because they're raising ticket prices astronomically.
It's like that.
We just all need to hit Lotto. That's it.
Listen,
but I do want to say my good news with that is if you're going to go to an away game, Detroit Lions fans are the nicest they can be because they've been there at the bottom of the barrel.
You know what? It's funny to think about Detroit being a place where there's like nice people, but you know what?
I know.
You know what? That's good news. You went to Detroit and it was good.
My funny story is we're like, you know, we get out of our car, we're wearing all our Vikings gear and everything, and we're like trying to figure out how to get to the stadium, and they're just going, oh, you just go over here, going over there, and you go turn here. That's how you get there. I look at my dad, I'm like, you know what? They're so nice. I'm pretty sure if we were in Green Bay right now, they'd send us back to some back alley to get beat up.
I mean, that's probably true. It's probably true. John, what about you? You've got some pretty, you always have cool good news. You make my good news look not very exciting these last bunch of months. You got engaged. You had life-changing surgery. Like, what do you got now?
Well, I'm almost fully recovered from the setback I had in November where I had like half a November off from work.
Great news.
So two things happened in January. I got two new team members, so we were all sitting in a room, and I got my 5-year brick.
Whoa.
Love it.
Congratulations.
Very nice. Very nice.
It was supposed to be given to me back in November, but my team, like, I was out for half the month. December's crazy. And the B part of my good news is that now Season of the Sea Witch has officially moved in and will be signing the lease at the end of the month. So
great.
Yes.
Love it. We absolutely love to hear it. Manda, what about you? What's your good news?
Well, it was a tough end of the year for me.
It's true.
Getting laid off and having my basement just be a complete loss. But the good news for me coming into January is I'm taking an experimental narrative design course, which has proven to be really, really interesting. And I built a game. You know, it's a very simple text game that explores impossible choice and that design space. So, that's some pretty good news.
I think that's great news because you want to make games, you want to write games, but you have had no formal training. You're just adjacent to it and incredibly intelligent. So relying on that.
I work in production, but I haven't been able to like work in games.
Yeah.
My background's in like building business software, not building video games.
And so this is going to be some formal training that'll help you get in the door so you can make some cool stuff, which is great. We'll get, I am super excited for that. And I always think learning new things just for the sake of learning new things is good news. Because learning new things is super fun. I'm going to go last. My good news is that it's a new year for Engage Family Gaming. And I know this is going to sound kind of like corny, but we're unironically and unapologetically positive. So I always love the new year for EFG. This is a great opportunity. I spent the last couple of weeks, instead of recharging, I actually just built a very, like, I just kind of suddenly had this really powerful burst of energy, and I'm still riding the high on some of that productivity. So, if you go to the mothership, you'll see a bunch of new articles, and a bunch of new stuff, and I'm really excited about it. I've got I actually have 9 drafts in the tank, that I have written over the last handful of days, An hour-long bus ride to and from work and an iPad does a whole lot for one's productivity. So we're going to have some really cool stuff. And like I said, I really love the new year. And I have dipped my toes into upgrading my OBS system so that this stream and our Dungeons & Dragons streams will be that much more entertaining to watch. So if you haven't stopped by... if you haven't stopped by a show yet, for Coils of Destiny, you may want to come to the next one because at the very least, the preview that I've been giving people of the new overlay is fantastic. So, that's all I have for that. Let's get going. Let's talk about some video games / board games. And get into the games that we've played because we all had an opportunity over the course of the last few weeks to play. So let's talk about it. John, what have you been playing?
So I rolled credits on Jedi Survivor. And then immediately walked over to Season in the Sea Witch, and I was like, Dead Space or Final Fantasy Crisis Core? And then she had the cat pick, and then the cat picked Final Fantasy Crisis Core.
How does one have a cat pick a game?
Well, you put it in front, and then you just like pick, and then it's whatever one they make any sort of motion towards. So...
That's how my chickens pick their names at school.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
All animals pick. So.
All right. We're down. I get it. Okay.
I've been playing through that. I've been working on the missions first before I go out into the main quest. And it's interesting. It's definitely somewhere in between the original, which I did not play that much of because I didn't have a PSP until 10 years ago, and Final Fantasy 15 and the action system that is in Final Fantasy now. So, but yeah, it's great.
Graphic, awesome.
Looks good.
Hey, Amanda, would you mind nuking the person that's trying to sell us views?
On it.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Moderator lasers. Love every second of it. Okay. So, Jeff, what about you? What'd you play over the holiday break?
Well, I have started playing Super Mario RPG, which I played the original, I want to say about 15 years ago. I was in college. I never had it when the Super Nintendo was an active console, and I remember getting with one of my good friends as a roommate, and I'm like, hey, let me bring up my Super Nintendo, and so he goes, I have Super Mario RPG, and I never played it, and I remember back then, I played it pretty much all weekend and beat it in a weekend. Now I'm dad with two kids. There's no just playing a 10 to 15 hour game over the weekend and beating it. I am enjoying it. It's amazing how I haven't played this game in 15 years, but then I see certain scenes and it just brings back those memories, and they did a wonderful job with it. And to tell you how perfect the original is, they did not have to change much for this remake.
I've heard that. I'm going to pick it up at some point. It is just a matter of time. For me, I didn't spend my break playing a ton of games, so I didn't play that one. But I'm very excited for Super Mario RPG. Manda, tell me, what did you play over break? You played something very interesting to me.
I mean, I played Redacted and Redacted over break because I'm back doing gameplay feedback consulting, so I'm doing that kind of thing. So I ended up playing Flamecraft, which was all the hotness in 2022, but I didn't get a chance to play it. Bought it for Vivian for her 11th birthday, and we've played it a bunch of times since then. We've had so much fun playing it. It's even inspiring her to like start thinking about gameplay mechanics. Now she's like designing her first board game, which is very cool.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. She's prototyping it right now out of cardboard and paper, which is brilliant. And yeah, so that's been a lot of fun. So that was cool. And I started playing Alan Wake 2 actually yesterday, which is fantastic because I finally finished playing American Nightmare because I didn't play it when it first came out. So Alan Wake 2 has been, it's been like coming home. It's really what it feels like. It feels like coming home. So that's been a blast. I played a bunch of other stuff, so.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You need to know about the original Alan Wake to play Alan Wake 2.
You don't need to know a ton. You like probably the like playing the remastered is the way to play that game. Like the remastered version is very, very good. Skip the DLC, and then go watch American Nightmare just on YouTube. Like don't bother playing it. It hasn't been remastered, so it's still very much an Xbox 360 relic of its time. Okay. So the design decisions are definitely very dated. But the story itself is important, but you can go and like get caught up on Alan Wake's lore just on YouTube. You don't necessarily have to go through it if you don't want to. I love the remastered version. It doesn't take super long to play it, so I'd recommend that. But the rest of it, like playing the DLCs and American Nightmare, you just get caught up on YouTube. Like don't bother playing them.
Is there a lot of control in it? Because I know, like, it's the same universe and stuff, so.
For the original Alan Wake or for Alan Wake 2?
The new one, yeah.
It shares DNA. Absolutely, okay. It shares DNA. So, anyway, that's Alan Wake 2.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, I tried to play the remaster. I just thought it was still kind of clunky, so I just was wondering
if it was a tough.
Well, it's a remaster of a 360 game. It's gonna be like that. So,
Everyone loves Alan Wake 2, and I love Control. So I just wanted to see if I could jump straight into Alan Wake 2.
You can and you can't. It's both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just have to watch a YouTube video about the story.
Yep. There it is.
So. I'm going last once again. The game, I mean, I played a lot of World of Warcraft. I always do that, right? So we'll ignore that. But the game that is of note to us that I put a bunch of time into is Lego Fortnite. And as we, you know, we didn't really get a chance to talk about this at the end of last year, but like Fortnite like went and like made a metaverse. They just like kind of made one. And so they just released three new games, and instead of them being limited time game modes, they're just legit video games that you get to from the same screen. You buy a skin for one that it carries over into these other games for the most part. It's freaking wild. And so they released a race car game from the folks that made Rocket League. They released a music game from Harmonix, and they released Lego Fortnite, which is Minecraft, but make it with Legos. And, that's it. It's Minecraft, but make it Legos. And it has, because of the UI elements and the sound effects, it also really feels very Fortnite. Like, the, you know, because I am not a Fortnite aficionado, never will be, but I've watched enough of that game and been around enough of it, like, you know, just seeing the UI elements and the music and the sound effects from combat and from people spawning in and stuff like that. The sound of, you know, harvesting, you know, materials and everything. It just feels like this really, like, this monstrosity should not work, right? You should not be able to combine Lego and Fortnite and, like, survival mechanics and make it work. And guess what? It worked. And it's actually pretty good. I think it's really neat. I've already seen... I know I said I went last. I didn't actually go last. I'm jumping ahead. I absolutely... We're going to talk a lot more about it in a greater context, in a wider and broader context, over the coming weeks when we talk about how significant... I think it is, at least. But I will say, Lego Fortnite's really good. So if you... Yeah, I think everybody should give it a shot if you like survival games. Linda,
I played it for like a hard day and a half. And it just feels like a kid's version of Don't Starve. But like much more friendly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Linda, right. What do you got for us?
Real quick. So... last year, I backed four games from Allplay, and I got one to the table last year. I got the second one, which is called Mindspace. It is a roll and color, roll and write. And the idea is you're filling in basically brains, and you're trying to fill in different regions of the brain. I'm finding I'm really, really enjoying roll and writes, and you're going to see that in some of my anticipated games. But what was really nice is this had a solo mode, so I got to learn it while the guys were over playing poker and we were visiting, and they were playing poker, which is not my preferred game, and I got to learn how to play Mindspace and play that. So that was really nice. I'm really enjoying these all-play games, I have to say. This is the second I've got two others to explore, so that'll be fun.
Awesome. It's very cool. I can't wait to hear more about those remaining games. So... So that's the games we're playing. Obviously, we've got lots coming. This year is going to be very busy, and I still have games from last year to catch up on. So we will certainly have plenty of things to talk about. I do want to take a brief moment to thank Mega Mom and Ready Player Mama for subbing for many, many months in a row. Our biggest fans and biggest supporters over here on Twitch. So thank you very much for that. So let's get to before we get to the quote unquote topic, Linda has a segment. It's Mom's Playlist. This is where I let Linda go wild. I don't even tell her what to talk about. She can talk about anything she wants. If she wanted to talk about her trip to a Vikings game, she could, and we'd be at her mercy. So, Linda, this time it sounds like you went on script and you talked about... So, you want to tell us about your five most anticipated board games of 2024, and I am very excited to hear about them.
Yes. Now, this was a lot of fun to put together, and honestly, I had to curate it down because I could spend the whole hour just talking about cool stuff coming out, but I kept it short and sweet, so I have five games, and then there's one bonus kids game I'm just going to throw out there, but I have to say the thing that just hit on January 3rd was Wormspan, and I first heard of it, ironically, with a TikTok spoof about it. But it is actually a game coming out. It's a, I don't want to say sequel to Wingspan, but it's kind of the next in the series, unrelated, but it's dragon theme. And as you know, I love the dragon theme. I can't resist it. So this is one that it was announced on the 3rd. The content creators can start dropping content on the 22nd. The product's going to launch from Stonemaier on the January 31st with retail... worldwide retail by the end of March. So this is coming and coming soon, and I am all in on this. So I am super excited about that.
And I just put the picture in, and I actually, believe it or not, I just registered for the notification. So yeah, Wormspan right here, everybody. Yeah, listen, I can't wait. Freaking Wingspan with dragons, sign me up. Like the fastest sell I've ever heard. All right, what do we got next?
All right, so next up, we have Command of Nature. So this is Unstable Games. This is the same folks that did Unstable Unicorns and Here to Slay, and the most recent one that we talked a ton about. Why is my brain not working? Casting Shadows.
Yep.
They are that we love their products. And this one was a Kickstarter last year, and it looks amazing. We got to see it at Toy Fair. They had this out on the table, and it's coming. There's too many screens up on my computer. Too many screens. But they're estimating fulfillment about June. So by mid-year, this should be out and in the wild. And it just looks like such a phenomenal game, and I can't wait to get my hands on this once it hits retail.
And I threw this one up on the screen, too, where we've got the four different characters. And this goat guy with the little wood bird thing is—he's my very best friend. I like the angry goat with a little bird guy. All right, what else we got? We're the hits keep coming. These are both great looking games so far.
There's amazing stuff coming out. So Cascadia has been a hit in the board game world, and they're coming out. The Kickstarter is going to launch early 2024. They're hoping for fulfillment by the end of the year. They're coming out with two Roll and Write versions. They've got Rolling Hills and Rolling Rivers. And these are both supposed to be, like, they look really great. And this is where, just like Mindspace, they're Roll and Writes. And I'm finding I'm just really enjoying that genre because they tend to be quicker games. They tend to be a little easier to get into, and they just really fit kind of my personal style. And the art is by the beloved Beth Sobel that does so many amazing board game illustrations. So this just looks so cool, and I can't wait to see this.
Still not muted, Steve.
I muted on OBS.
Oh, okay.
Cool. So you guys heard me. They didn't. Sorry, I don't know why my teenager decided that it was going to be appropriate to run in and go bleh, like a vampire. Go ahead, guys, sorry.
Because his amygdala is underdeveloped, that's why.
Yeah. I'll develop his amygdala real fast. Anyway, so Cascadia.
But anyway, now let's go back to nature and like serene roll and write games.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this looks really great. And you can combine the two versions to get a 1-8 player game if you get both versions of the Rolling Rivers and Rolling Hills.
That sounds awesome to me.
Really, it sounds so awesome. All right, next up, we're doing this nice and quick. We've got a game that we saw at Toy Fair. Dodo that we saw at the Thames and Cosmos booth. And as I looked into this one some more, I made a discovery. It has been out for a couple years, but it's the US release that's coming in 2024. So this actually won a couple awards in Germany. It was released in 2020. So it got the top children's game award in 2020 in Germany. And it was also the winner of the German Game Prize for Best Children's Game in 2021. So we loved this when we saw this in the Thames and Cosmos booth at Toy Fair. And this just hearing that it's already won awards in Germany makes me even more excited to get my hands on it and actually play it, because it looked so amazing, where you're rolling the egg down and it's so cute. It's for ages 6 and up, so it's a cute game for the younger kids.
Yeah, absolutely. When I saw this, so the idea is you've got this like cardboard and plastic like cliff island, and you are trying to get the egg down it, and it's a disaster waiting to happen, and I can't wait.
It looks so fun.
What do we got? What do we got next? Right.
So the next is you. Yeah, you know, I gave you the list in advance. So King of Tokyo, they have so many versions out there. We really like King of Tokyo. There's a new version coming out that is a standalone game that is King of Tokyo Origins. So it is meant to be a little bit easier version of the game. It's meant to serve as what they are calling an entry point for new players. It's a little smaller. They're saying it's going to be a more affordable package, which is nice because King of Tokyo tends to run in the $30 to $40 range, depending on sales. It has 4 new monsters. There's some new power cards. There's also some of the old power cards that we know and love. You still have the energy cubes. So there's the same, it's saying there's going to be the same gameplay, but it sounds like they've simplified it down so it's going to be easier as a starting point for new players. So this just looks, we love King of Tokyo, so I'm really excited to see this new game that they're releasing in the series.
I just want to let everybody know that I'm maining Mecha Hamster. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Of course we can't.
You can fight me for Mecha Hamster. Listen, these games are freaking amazing, but we've got another one that I think is coming in 2024 that's actually on Backer Kit as of today. And so I'm going to bring this up now because this is from Friends of the Friends of EFG, Friends of the Show, and everything from a Runaway Parade. They're actually making a Monty Python and the Holy Grail officially licensed board game. And it just launched today on Backer Kit, which is kind of, I'm looking at the screen. It's Kickstarter, but for people that don't like Kickstarter.
Isn't Backer Kit like Kickstarter fulfillment, sort of?
BackerKit used to be they used to be a fulfillment and like managing, like it's complicated.
I still get BackerKit. So yeah. It might just be that they're doing publishing as well.
Yeah. So now this is just an alternate campaign route for Kickstarter, yeah, etc. And so this is, it's already funded. It funded very soon. So this is, there's still a month to go. So yeah, so Monty Python and the Holy Grail, as done by the folks at Runaway Parade Games. We love those guys. So,
I'm down for that.
And we will put that into the show notes. Yeah, I didn't imagine, like, of this crew, I didn't expect that we would be like, no, we don't like the Monty Python stuff. That's what I'm saying. I didn't think we were going to see that. Linda, you had one more that you wanted to talk about.
I do. I have one fun one just to put out there. Something that we got the biggest laugh out of at Toy Fair that's coming out this year. It's for younger kids. And we talked about it after Toy Fair. And it's the Dog Ate My Homework game from University Games, where you put the paper in, you turn the little crank, and the paper comes out the back end, all mixed up, and you have to reassemble the picture. So just because it's just so cute and so silly, I wanted to throw that in as sort of the bonus extra game to share, just because it's something light and fun, and I think we're going to get a lot of laughs out of that one.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, and it works. We watched it. They put the paper in, and it came out not only cut but scrambled. It was pretty interesting. Scrambled. So that is Mom's Playlist. We went through, that's a whole lot of board games. We'll have links to all of those in the show notes. So if you want more information, by all means, take a look at it. And many of those we will have details about as they come in. You know, like, for example, Wormspan, I suspect we will talk about as soon as physically possible, because content, and also because dragons and dragon content. It's a whole thing. So, video game time. There's a whole lot of video games coming in 2024. It's freaking me out because I thought that I was going to be able to rest after 2023. And the reality is, no, I can't because I didn't finish all those games. And second of all, they're going to keep making more. Manda, are they ever going to stop making games?
Until and unless the actual capitalistic engine implodes. No, even then, no. We're never going to stop.
Somebody's
going to
make games.
Indie developers are always going to make games.
You're saying I'm always going to be able to play like experimental shenanigans on itch.io?
Always, because us weird game dev nerds, that's just what we got to do. We got to keep making.
Fair enough. Yeah, you know what? Mega Mom in the chat saying she has vet tech jokes that she wants to hold on to in regards to the Dog Ate My Homework. And you know what? I want to play Dog Ate My Homework with a vet tech, so maybe we'll do that later on this year. So, all right, most anticipated games of 2024. Linda already went through, and she overachieved. She gave us a whole bunch of board games. The four of us, we've got to carry our weight here and talk about video games. I've gone last a whole bunch, so I'm going to start this time. When we were doing our pre-show meeting, I said I was going to cheat. I'm not going to. The thing I was going to cheat about, we'll talk about in the coming weeks. But what I'm going to say is my most anticipated game right now is Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door, which is coming to the Nintendo Switch very, very soon. And ultimately it comes down to, this is a remaster and slash remake of a GameCube era game that is genuinely the funniest video game I have ever played, and I cannot wait to play it again with my with children, because it is also a super approachable slapstick funny role like RPG that is going to be great all ages entertainment. So I'm very, very excited about that. Man, I can't, like, when they announced it, I was like, there's no way, you people are crazy. This is not real. And then it turns out that it was in fact real. I was wrong.
That never happens.
Me being wrong? No, doesn't. I'm always right. So that's what I got. Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door. Jeff, what about you?
So when you're asking me, there's so many games coming out that we already know of. I'm excited for this year, but one I wanted to highlight, now, whether it's on this podcast or when Steve and I used to do the EFG show, everyone knows I don't have the nicest words to say about Final Fantasy VII.
It's true.
Whenever the topic of Final Fantasy comes up, I always tell people, yes, but there's two better Final Fantasy games on the original PlayStation. Three better ones if you count Final Fantasy Tactics. Final Fantasy IX is the best, but they need to remake that. But
word on the street is they are. But go ahead, carry on.
If that ever comes announcement, you guys over in Connecticut will be able to hear me screaming from Michigan, because Final Fantasy IX is up there as one of my favorite games of all time. I've always said, my wife didn't let me, but I wanted Zoe's name to be Vivian. I know, Amanda, you have a Vivian, but just so I could call her Vivi, because he is, like, my spirit animal. But we're not talking about Final Fantasy IX. We're talking about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which I'm excited to play, because whenever I've tried to play Final Fantasy VII, I've only ever gotten to the part where you save Red 13. And then I've always dropped off. So this next part of the series is I don't know the story. So it'll be a new experience. I won't have anything to relate back to. And I'm excited for that, because I did enjoy the first Final Fantasy VII remake, and so I assume I will enjoy that one just as much.
That's awesome. You know, there's a lot of folks that are really excited about this. Me too. You know, Final Fantasy VII Remake is, you know, I liked it way more than I thought I was going to. It really grabbed me and in ways I wasn't expecting. So, yeah, I'm hoping this one does. My only fear is that the thing I really liked about Final Fantasy VII Remake is that it was kind of straightforward. And there wasn't a lot of, like, extra weight. It was, like, a very tight experience. And I'm just worried now that we're going to have a world map and that it's going to be longer. And it's going to just be a whole thing. So I'm hoping that it's still accessible to someone like me who gets discouraged by games that are too big sometimes.
I am curious to see if they give a story reason for why you're going to start back at level one again, or is it just going to be, the story reason is going to be, video games.
I think we'll find that out when they do the first previews, which I am sure are due. I mean, they could be working on them right now. I mean, I'm sure that we'll have the first previews in the next couple of months, or maybe a Game Informer cover or something like that. We'll find that out, because they're going to tell us, I'm sure. So that's Final Fantasy Rebirth. Very excited. Amanda, what are you excited about playing this year? You have some of the coolest stuff because you're all in on the indie games, and you've got a wish list a mile and a half long on Steam.
I do. I have, like, I think my wish list is close to 200 indie games deep. So
yeah.
I just really love indie games.
Listen,
so
sometimes you need retail therapy and you have wish list therapy. So sometimes you just wish list stuff. And I approve of it.
Yep. It's true. I'll watch showcases and be like, I want that one and that one and that one and that one and that. So two of my most anticipated AA and indie games this year, because I'm staying away from AAA in terms of, like, oh, hey, this is what everybody else is really excited about. Yeah. That's great. Everybody knows about those games. So my AA game that I'm actually pretty psyched about that's going to be coming out in February is a game called Thaumaturge. Now, this is not for kids, but Thaumaturge is basically, oh man, how do I describe it? It is it's an action game where you control combat using cards. And it's also an adventure game where you go around, you have conversations with people, you investigate. It's very Disco Elysium meets Slay the Spire almost, but it's very difficult to describe. But I played the demo, I loved it, and I'm very excited to play the full game. So that'll be coming out towards the end of February. I think that'll be a good Steam Deck game for me. And then on the indie side, I'm really excited to play Lil Guardsman, which is this, again, I played the demo during the last Steam Next Fest, and you are playing as this guardsman in training. It's a very fantasy setting. It's cartoony, it's adorable, and you have
putting
to
the trail. I'm putting the trailer on the front page. Or on the,
I
on
love
the
it. Yeah, it's cool as heck. So you're playing as this little guardsman, and, you know, you have to determine, are you going to let this person in? Are they okay to let into the city? What kinds of questions do you need to ask? Do you need to use tools, magical tools? Do you need to call someone to get more information? You know, it's a very refreshing approach to a deduction game. And it's got this beautiful cartoony style on top of it. So this was the last hurrah that came out of Versus Evil before the entirety of that staff was laid off 3 days before Christmas.
Oof. Is this
Papers, Please?
Yeah, is this Papers, Please? Cross Professor
is.
Layton cross yeah. Ace Attorney?
A little bit.
I mean that in the, I saw as soon as he sat behind a door and was talking about and was like, do I let you in? I was like, is this Papers, Please? Are we playing? Like, so
it's got a very Papers, Please, but make it less
dystopian,
less dour. Yeah. Make it like cute and adorable and approachable and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's cool. I like it a lot. I'm excited for that one.
Sure.
I'm excited for a lot of games next year that are indie games, but that was like, well, that one's coming out pretty soon, so I'm excited.
Listen, one thing we are doing starting to, today's Tuesday, starting off Thursday, is we're going to be on all of our socials. We're going to be featuring a new wholesome game every week. And who knows if some of Amanda's favorites are going to find their way into that list. In fact, you can count on that because Amanda knows a lot about wholesome indie games. So we're going to do that thing. And Little Guardsman, I don't know if it's wholesome or not, but it's super awesome, and I'm very excited about it. John, bring us home. What game are you excited to play in 2023? Or 2024? Well, we already did 2023.
2024. Yeah. So, in about three or four sittings, I got through Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion, which was amazing. Just everything about it. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I heard out of the blue that they were making a sequel, and it's Turnip Boy Robs a Bank, and it's coming to Game Pass on the 18th, I think.
Yep.
I think very it might soon. Be the same day as the dev showcase, but it's just, he's a sarcastic little turnip that just steals things from people, and just, he's just a jerk. Like, it feels a lot like, what if the guys that did Untitled Goose Game decided to do a Link to the Past?
Yeah.
Like, just smash those two together hard. And, like, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And it's cheapy little graphics. A lot of fun. I love it.
Yeah, I've got the trailer playing on the screen. Yeah, Turnip Boy,
it's like, oh,
robs a bank. It looks like it's got a little Enter the Gungeon going on in there. Because what Turnip Boy needed was a twin stick shooter. Am I right? Am I right? As a matter of fact, yes, I am. That's a lot of really good video games, guys. And what's wild is we talked about five of them, and the real interesting thing is there's word on the street is we might see a Indiana Jones game this year. We got a Princess Peach video game that we didn't talk about that I'm sure we'll talk about as we get closer.
We have a Star Wars game.
Star Wars Outlaws, which, yep, you know, assuming that hits on time, will be amazing. We're due for another Assassin's Creed, too, I think. But that's for the grown-ups. We might even get a new Switch this year.
Yeah.
This is what I want to like end on. The Nintendo Switch. Excuse me, everybody. The Nintendo Switch. One of my favorite consoles of all time. Came out in March of 2017. So it is now almost March of 2024, which is 7 years. That's a long time. Clearly, Nintendo knows how to make games for their system, but lots of other folks do not, as evidenced by the Mortal Kombat 1 shenanigans and, you know, stuff like that. So it is seeming like it is becoming more likely that we're going to see a new Switch this year, just based on reports and just kind of based on timing. Amanda, I'm not going to ask you to put on your business hat too much,
but you like, have one now.
Am I crazy in thinking that, and you're muted, by the way,
I do have a business hat. So, yeah.
Oh, that's right. You can put, is it available? Do you want to put on your business hat?
It's in here. Hold on. I got to pull up.
She has a business hat. I'll remind you. So put on your business hat for a moment.
Okay, hold on. Let me actually like get it set up. So you ask me the question and I'll put my.
So the question is, am I crazy in thinking that this is the year that they probably got to do it, right? Like if they're going to put out a new Switch, it's got to be this year. Am I wild?
You are not wild. I think that, hold on, I gotta find the silly thing, because I don't even remember, like, what the app is called.
I can't wait.
John, do you remember?
No.
Shoot.
I didn't even look at the description. I just,
oh,
like...
hold on. It's just turning on. Hold on.
There it is. God, I love this thing.
That is phenomenal.
And for our audio listeners, Amanda just put on a hat that has an LED, like, shenanigans across the front of it that just says business moving. All right, so Amanda, you have your business hat on. So it's time, right?
It is. So let's take a look at the past in order to take a look at what the future is potentially going to hold. So normally the life cycles for a lot of our consoles are usually between 7 to 10 years. Sometimes they stretch them a little longer. If you're the PlayStation 2, you last forever. I mean, I don't know. There's something magical about the PlayStation 2, but the Switch is showing its age, right? Even the Switch OLED is showing its age. And we are at the end of the Nintendo Switch's life cycle. They are in third place in sales, in both in terms of, especially in terms of dollar sales. They had unit sales for a sec in 2023, but things are looking relatively bleak in terms of their hardware outlook. There are, like, everybody has a Switch at this point, right? The problem is that the new games don't run on the hardware, right? They chug, and it's problematic, right? The software is getting better, the hardware is staying the same. This is the year. This is the year to do it. It has been 7 years since the Switch came out. It is time. Otherwise, they're going to continue to lose this battle in terms of the hardware, and software will follow. It will, because people will be like, okay, well, where's the next Switch? And this game doesn't run nearly as well. And I'm not saying for first-party Nintendo games, because first-party Nintendo games will probably continue to run like butter. But that's first-party. We're talking third-party here. So that's my business
even
perspective.
First-party sometimes chugs along.
Yeah.
It's not wrong.
I've seen dips in frame rate in the Super Mario RPG remake.
I haven't played that yet, so I don't have any experience there. So that's really good to know.
It's... Well, and even Link's Awakening 2019, I think, was one of the biggest things, is it did not run well. Granted, I think it was farmed out to another.
Yeah, that one was rough, though. It was not optimized correctly for the hardware. At least from my perspective, it wasn't optimized correctly, so...
And then let's not even talk about Scarlet and Violet at this point.
Yeah, we won't do that. Listen, like, we're going to have the internet will do an internet, and we don't do that. So we don't do that here. So I am excited about this. I don't know about everybody else. I love my – so I hope, and I want to hear from everybody else, I hope – that it is, because obviously they could either iterate on the Switch or do something new. I hope that we just get another Switch. Just make it a Super Switch. Make it an iteration.
Like Switch Pro.
Yeah.
Like, Super Switch would be amazing. It would certainly follow in the naming trajectory. All I'm saying is, I don't want another Wii U.
Yeah.
Because they hit gold with the Wii. The Wii U was not what people were looking for. It was ahead of its time. Like, let's call a spade a spade. It was ahead of its time. People didn't know what to do with it. It was very gimmicky. I want more of the Switch, but make it more powerful. Give me this, but make it a Switch. Give me my Steam Deck, but let me run Nintendo software off of it. Please and thank you. That's
all
I
want. I mean,
you can,
just not legally.
We don't talk about that.
I've seen the videos.
She got the business hat on.
Business.
Not piracy.
You bought this for me.
Business. Yeah. So, all right. So, Jeff, what about you? I mean, do you want another Switch, or do you want them to go crazy and come up with something else? What do you?
I mean, yes, I want another Switch, but I also, Nintendo does what Nintendo does, and I just love their innovation. I mean, let's look back through the years. Through the years, I mean, we have the D-pad because of Nintendo.
Yeah.
One of the most basic parts of a controller. Nintendo was really what brought motion controls to the forefront. I mean, even the Wii U, though, was a failure, and, you know, those of us who got a Wii U love our Wii U's for the most part. I mean, it was kind of like the prototype to the Switch.
It was.
Actually, I think when the Switch first came out, I saw a joke that says, the Wii U is the system you play while in the bathroom. The Switch is the system you play while in someone else's bathroom.
It's not wrong, but.
I think Nintendo understands they can't go back from being a hybrid console. I think with how successful, well, they can, but I think they shouldn't with how successful the Switch is. I love my pick up and go, and even, you know, even other consoles are going that way. You know, PlayStation just came out with the PlayStation Portal. I know, not the same thing, but just, or even Xbox being able to play on xCloud through your phone or iPad. Just these systems are bringing up more portability, but who does it best? The Switch. And if you took away that from a new system, I think it would be
not
a good idea.
Yeah, I think it would be a mistake. What about you, John? Where are you coming down on this?
I am totally fine and ready for the new one. Like, I want it 2 years ago.
Did you say your body is ready?
My body is ready.
That's a reference, by the way, guys. I just want to make it clear. Like, this is like the third or fourth, like, maybe not. Like, tonight. That's, believe it or not,
that's on me. My bad.
That's a Nintendo reference. I just want to make sure. I'm just covering all our bases.
It is.
It's literally a Nintendo reference. Reggie Fils-Aimé said.
I knew it was a reference and I had no idea what was going on.
Not only is it a reference. I mean, it's not.
Was that an E3, wasn't it?
It was at an E3 and Reggie Fils-Aimé was talking about, I don't know, whatever. And
was
he,
it Smash or something?
I don't even know what it was. No, it wasn't Smash because it wasn't anything important. I think that's the issue. It was something dumb. but he said, my body is ready. And the reality is, like, I think that he didn't understand that he was becoming a meme. This was like before Reggie became the Reginator. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Reggie Fils-Aimé, former president of Nintendo. It doesn't matter. Replaced by Doug Bowser, of all people. imagine that. So, listen, I'm with you. So anyway, John, go ahead. You're all in on what Nintendo does.
As long as the peripherals and the software and carts are able to be used in the new Switch, give it to me now. Like, I'm ready. Like, I'll slap down the $400 or $500. Because this one is going to be $400 or more, hands down. It definitely, we're going to see an OLED screen. And we're going to see something in the early PS4 range of technology on it.
I mean, we're throwing predictions around. I'm not ready to, I'm not a betting man anymore. But listen, I'm ready. I'm super excited for it. I've said that over and over again. Linda, your perspective is one that I am interested in because the other four of us are a bunch of dorks that will absolutely buy this thing day one. There is no question. Like, I'll be throwing elbows trying to bring one home the first day it comes out. What about you, Linda? Like, what would it take for a new Switch to convince you guys? Oh, we got the dog snoring. The mascot. Aww. He's going crazy. So, Linda, what would it take? What are your thoughts on this thing?
What's our homie? As long as it's still portable. I think that's going to be the key.
Absolutely.
That is the biggest draw, besides the great games that Nintendo puts out, but the portability factor is so huge. More, you know, I can't tell you how many times we have the kids, like family friends visiting, and we'll have three kids on three Switches, and sometimes it plugs into the TV, or, you know, like, it's so ubiquitous with playing games right now for so many of these kids. But I think for us personally, as long as they keep that portability, I have a feeling we waited on the Switch originally. I think we're not going to be able to wait. You know, maybe we're not a day one purchase because we usually aren't, but I have a feeling we're year one instead of year two or three for buying the Switch.
And to your point, I'm pretty sure that they pulled that, like, they can't put that genie back in the bottle. Yeah. Like, Nintendo implemented that, and now they have to have that forever.
I would be stunned if that went away. They need to make a portable
system forever. Yeah.
Right, but that's a huge draw for so many kids, is that they can take it with them, and instead of being on their tablet, they're playing a game.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's, I think it's assuming they keep it, I think it's a must buy for us. It's just a matter of figuring out where, you know, month one or year one or when we're getting it. But I think it's an inevitability.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Linda, think about it. You're on a gaming podcast, you know.
I mean,
you know, it's not exactly for work, but it's for work, you know.
I can't write it off. Sorry.
I mean, you're right. That's true. But okay. So all that said, here's the good news for all the people listening and watching this. Not the last that we're going to talk about it this year, because my guess is they're going to make an announcement, and then we're going to react to it, and then we're going to talk about it. And we also have our Facebook group where we will be talking about it quite a bit over on Engage. On, if you go to Facebook and just look for Engage Family Gaming Community, you can find it there. And we will be talking about it, I am sure, ad nauseum with all of the other like-minded parents in there. Hey, guys, we did it. What is, oh my goodness, it's an Atari cartridge made out of Legos.
And then I built this tonight. This is what I built tonight. This was the last episode. So two more parts to build. And I'm working on the deck of the actual Atari right now.
It's very impressive. Amazing. Linda, how's the blanket going, or whatever you're making?
So it's not so I didn't have a new thing started, so I've been working on a scarf. So tonight's was about that much.
All right. I like it. We love it. I did not make anything other than a podcast tonight. So, and you know what? I'm pretty proud of my podcast. So, everybody, thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much for watching. I hope you enjoyed those activities as much as we enjoyed recording it. And I know I'm setting the bar pretty high, because this is the highlight of the week for the five of us. I will be back with Jeff and Linda and Amanda and a few others on Monday as we return to the Coils of Destiny. And then we'll be back in 2 weeks for another episode of the Engage Family Gaming Podcast, where we will, not quite sure of the topic yet, but there's a lot of stuff. But you know what? We're probably going to talk about that their Xbox developer showcase that's next week. And maybe Prince of Persia Sword and Sorcery Metroidvania. It looks really good, and I'm very excited. So, everybody, have yourself a great couple of weeks. We will see y'all soon. And until next time, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll see y'all soon. Bye now.
Bye, guys. Bye.